Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم 5 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful morning on our program The Bliss of Marriage, the 16th of Dhul Hijjah 1442. Let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company. And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, and of course, our beloved senior Fadilatul Honorable Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, ma'arafat, jazakullahu khairan.
Listener says, Ustad, I never gave the mehr to my wife as she did not ask after marriage, Ustad. Should I give it or not? And is that a sin? Anonymous Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in Islam we have the law of nikah. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَى, that you, the men, you must pay the mahar to your wives, and it is called nihla. So that is a marital gift. So when you told your wife you will give her 1,000 rand, for example, and now you say no, you didn't give it to her because she didn't ask for it. So that is not a valid excuse. You must remember that she made the great sacrifice. She left her parents' home and she left her place of birth. She left everything which she was new and now came to a new place, a new environment, and that is to spend the remainder of her life with you, and now you say no, you're not going to pay, or you're looking for some excuse. So it's unacceptable, it's haram. So much so that if you die now, so that amount will be taken out from your estate and given to her, besides her share of one eighth, if there's a child or children, or 1/4, 25%, if there's no child, no children. So you must pay her that mahar immediately. And if you, the husband, got common sense, which nowadays is not so common, so then if the mahar was 1,000 rand, you will give her 2,000 rand or 1,500 rand, for example. Tell her the 1,000 rand is a mahar and the other 500,000 rand is a hiba, is a gift from my side because I delayed in the payment. Not she's demanding it, you give it to her from the goodness of your heart, a generous gesture on your part. That is what Islam will tell you to do in cases like that.
So, Ustad, in a case where a husband is over-controlling, dear Mufti Sahab, you can't even speak to him, Ustad.
Obviously, you must remember that the husband must give his wife her freedom according to Islam, not according to the Western law. So what is the freedom according to Islam? Quran Sharif teaches Surah 4, verse number 19, وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, they treat your wives with equity, with love, with justice. How you, brother, you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter? So remember heart that you should be doing the same for your wife. That's one. Then the second one will be that Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Khayrukum Khayrukum Li Ahlikum. The best of you are the best of you to your family, to your wives and your children. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli, and I am the best to my wives and my children. So that is the hadith authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. And our mother Siddiqa Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala who reports that. So you should understand. Now you want to carry on as the, not Amir, but the Amir. Amir means a dictator, and do this, do that, and treat your wife just like a slave. So that is not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches us you are the Amir. Amir means you are Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in Mishkat Sharif, the leader of the people is who? The one who does the most khidmat. So you must be concerned about the welfare of your wife, of your children, and so forth. Not just sitting there on your laurels and thinking of Hadi, or just commanding and dictating to everybody. So she has the right for a separate house. She has the right, you must remember, that she can tell you that you should give her roti, kapra, makan. You must provide all the medical aid and medical assistance. You must be the one to give the food, the shelter, the clothing. So all this is on your responsibility without her asking for that or demanding for that. And remember that marriage is based on love and respect and so forth and loyalty. So if you are not going to do that, you're going to treat her badly. So she will also then be so broken. She'll say, look at this husband of mine. I made all the sacrifices, but this is how he treats me instead of appreciating me.
Listener says, Ustad, it's a sister. She says, my husband gave me 3 talaqs, Ustad. On the 29th of April, I asked 2 Maulanas on the validity of the talaq, and I was told because I'm breastfeeding, it's not valid. Can you please confirm this for me, Ustad Anonymous Sister?
Tell that both Maulanas, they must go back to Madrasa. If that's really what they told you, you must tell them, I said, they must go back to the Madrasa, back to the Darul Uloom. Because you must remember, in a case like that, when your husband gave you 3 talaq, 100% all 3 talaqs are valid, and you should be sitting in iddat already from that day onwards. What you said, the 29th of April, so 3 menses. So remember that, let's just say May, June, even now you should still be in your iddat. So that will be 3 menses according to the Hanafis and according to the Hanbalis and according to the Shafi'is and the Malikis. They say 3 period, 3 cleanliness, 3 tuhur. So you know, after the menses, then comes the period of cleanliness. So those 3 periods of cleanliness, when that finishes, then your iddat will finish. To say the talaq is not valid because you are breastfeeding, remember, there's no such thing like that in Islam, that the talaq is 100% valid. And according to all 4 schools, the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, therefore I say, I don't know where these Maulanas are, or maybe they're half baked, you know, half cooked, and therefore they're just calling themselves Maulana. Therefore they said that Neem Hakim Khatra Ejan, that when you have half a doctor, you know, the person is not a proper doctor, he's just taking chances, then there's fear for one's life. And Neem Mullah Khatra Iman, when you go to half Molvi, then you will lose your Iman. So you mustn't go to such kind people who don't know whether they're coming or going.
Allahu Akbar. I see there's a listener that says, Anonymous, my friend's son impregnated his cousin, Ustad. Both are late teens. The cousins got married, but they are not happy. They want to divorce. Any advice for them, please? She had a miscarriage a week now, Ustad.
Remember, yeah, there are 3 different issues. So this person, yeah, eloped with that lady there, and they committed fornication. For both of them, Islamically, is 100 lashes. And the 100 lashes must be meted out to them in public. Surah number 24, Surah Nur, verse number 2. Quran Sharif teaches us, Azaniyatu wa zani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalda. that for the Zania, that is the fornicators, and the Zani, the fornicator, the male and female who are not married, so give each one of them 100 lashes. And Quran says, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَعْفًا. You don't show them any mercy and compassion. That is the law of Almighty Allah, the Sharia, the divine code. And وَلْيَشْهَدْ أَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A group of believers which should be witness to this punishment, so it will act as a deterrent for the community and the society. Chapter 24, verses number 2 and 3 and so forth, you can study it there. So that is the now first point. Obviously in our countries we can't do that because we don't have the authority and so forth. Hardly you will find any Muslim Arab country doing this nowadays, because each one of them want to appease the West, and they're more worried about what the West will say instead of what Allah Jalla wa Ala, what Nabi alayhi salatu salam commanded them. So that is number one. Number two is this, that they got married. So that was good point in this sense, that Quran also say, أَزَانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِحُوَا إِلَّا زَانٍ. So they should get married and so forth. Third one, after they got married, now they're not happy. So when you are basing your marriage on something haram, because you committed zina, fornication, so when the foundation itself is corrupted, when the foundation is already so polluted and so forth, so you won't really find extreme happiness, you know. Thereafter, this lady, according to the question, then she had a miscarriage and so forth and so on. So we will never tell you that now you must go and divorce. We will always tell you what the Quran Kareem says, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, that reconciliation is the best. And both of you must realize, you have to both make tawbah, because both of you are guilty. So no sense blaming the boy only, no sense blaming the girl only, both parties must share the blame, both are guilty. Thereafter, remember that you all made this whole mess, and everybody will know now that this girl was pregnant, and so forth and so on, and now there's a miscarriage and so forth. So you can't hide now anything from the public. So it is in both of your interests that you'll stay married. And what you should do, read Surah 25, verse 74, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. O Almighty Allah, you are the creator of love. So Ya O Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, let that love flow from husband to wife and wife to husband. So that is, and give out charity daily. Allah Jalla Wala make easy for you.
I see the listener says, but Mufti Sahib, maybe Mufti Sahib not understanding. Both of them are not happy, and they don't want this mess to go to the public because they've got izzet. Both families will start.
What izzet you got, you must remember, there's no izzet left. Everybody knows about it already. So you must remember, don't think you can hide. Once you committed fornication, and then suddenly you got married, and then there's miscarriage, everything leaks out. Maybe it won't be known to everybody now. After 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, everything will come out. So you disgrace yourself. And Quran Sharif says, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ, that whosoever Almighty Allah humiliates and disgraces, there's none to give them honor. I understood what you said, but your izzet, so-called izzet, what you're calling, is already in tatters and in the ruins. Remember that. You can't be committing a haram and then saying that, no, we are very honorable family, reputable family. It's like a person taking poison and saying, no, I'm 100% cured. So you're just fooling yourself.
Somebody says here, respected Ustad, I have two questions. One is, I would like to find out, when a person passes away, do they meet the family members that have passed on before them, Ustad? That's one.
Remember that when a person passes away, it's not necessary that in all cases you will meet your family and so forth. The Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah does not say in all cases. Yes, the Quran Sharif teaches us, وَأَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, that will happen on the day of justice. So on that day, definitely you will meet your mother, your father, your parents, your siblings, your wife and spouses and children and so forth. So day of Qiyamah, 100% you'll meet. But in between, what we call barzakh. Barzakh is the interspace, the in-between. When a person dies, then his Qiyamah already, the micro has started. Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu. So when a person passed away, so his or hers, their Qiyamah has started already. So from the micro to the macro, from the smaller Qiyamah till the bigger one, so till the day of justice, that period is called barzakh, Quran says. So in alame barzakh, sometime they'll meet, sometime they won't meet, but it's not necessary everybody you will meet.
Second question will start. When family members are making a dhikr khatam for a deceased family member and another family member passes away, can the intention of the zikr be for both family members, or is the khatam just for one family member, Ustad?
No, whatever you read, you can make multiple intention for 100, million, 1,000 people, zillion people, billion people, all is permissible. However, when you speak about the zikr khatam and so forth, if you're telling people that every Thursday they must come, or on the 40th day they must come, or they must read 41 Yasin and all that is not permissible. In Islam, you can't be making takhsis like that. You can't be specifying like that, which Islam did not specify. Islam did not say my father, mother passed away, so only Thursdays I must pray for them. Islam did not say you must read 41 Yasin, any amount you can read. So we need to be careful about these things here. Many a time our intention is good, but what happens is because of lack of knowledge or just following Bab Dada M Karta Huta, that our forefathers are doing this, our forefathers are doing this, our ancestors, so we also doing it. But now, what did Islam say? So Islam says you don't have to meet at anybody's place also. So every day I make dua for my beloved parents, grandparents, all of them, the marhumin and so forth. Surah 14, verse 41. Surah chapter 14. Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, yawma yaqumul hisab, the day the reckoning is established. So in that way there, remember that is what should be done. And a second dua, Quranic dua, you should learn Surah 59, Surah Hashr, and verse number 10. Surah 59, verse number 10. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Oh beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers and sisters who passed away before us with iman. So that is, and then you read Surah Yasin, Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. It's permissible according to all four schools that you read Surah Yasin, you read any other surah, and the hadith of Surah Yasin is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood ibn Majah, on the authority of Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala. And so therefore, you don't have to go meet up at somebody's house every Thursday or the third day or 40th day or 100th day. All that got nothing to do with Islam.
So Ustaz, what is the maximum period of breastfeeding for a child? Is it Hanafi or Shafi that is 2.5 years? Can a child be breastfed for over 2 years if he is troubling? Ustaz, anonymous.
Remember, according to all four schools, whether it's the Maliki, whether it's Shafi, Hanbali, Hanafi, is 2 years. Because the Quran Sharif says that وَفِصَالُهُ فِي آمِينَ, that the maximum period for breastfeeding is 2 years. But Imam Abu Hanifa only. Remember that. So when I say that all four schools say that, so the Sahibain are the great students, most illustrious students of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, they say also 2 lunar years. So therefore, you say all four schools. So it's only Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, who says, Salathuna Shahra. He says that no, gunjaish here. You can go to 2.5 years, 2.5 lunar years. What I mean by gunjaish here, that there is scope for that, for the very reason you are mentioning. He says that now the son, the daughter is 2 years old. But they don't want to leave the breast, they don't want to leave the milk and so forth, you must remember. So now really they're troubling and so forth. So if you go a little bit over, 2 years, 1 month, 2 years, 3 months, 2 years, 5, 6 months, so that will be acceptable and permissible. So that is what Imam Abu Hanifa is mentioning and saying. Otherwise, the fatwa, remember, is on 2 years, and it refers to 2 lunar years.
I see, the brother says, I just heard you earlier on speaking about those two cousins, Ustad. So the brother says here, my son also made a girl pregnant because we refused him to marry the girl of his choice. Do we give him our blessings now? Because we will not accept an illegitimate grandchild. Can we bring him to you, Ustad?
No, you don't have to bring him to me. You must tell him that he deserves that 100 lashes first. You must show him what the Islamic punishment is. Surah 24, verse 2. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to say in Madinah Munawwara that to the people, Allimu nisa'akum Surat An-Nur. Teach your females also Surah An-Nur, because there are so many issues related to them as well, not only to the men. So that's why it's of paramount importance that we teach our children these laws and so forth. Second one is this, you should be asking the question, when your son, you must remember, did that. That is, he told you he wants to marry ABC girl, but you all said no. Why you said no, I don't know. Maybe because of, you must remember, cultural differences, that one was Maimon, one was Surti, one was Urdu, one was Colvert. You know, all this gum mentality business, which is unacceptable in Islam. So you must remember, so I don't know, but the fact remained, you all said no. So he went and went to do the haram. So you all also partly to blame the parents, and he's to blame, there's no question about it. Now to say, no, we don't want nothing to do with a child, so that is smacking, you must remember, of another arrogance and so forth as well. That you must remember, in Islam, the lineage of that child there will go to the mother. But your son must take responsibility that it is, you must remember, his son or his daughter. Although Islamically it's not compulsory upon him that he has to maintain it, but we will tell him that when he knows deep down his heart that it is his son, his daughter, so he should also do the right thing, you must remember. And let's say, for example, that son, daughter, now because it's illegitimate, the lineage goes to the child, now the child is not getting any Islamic education and so forth, Allah forbid the child leaves Islam, so who's to blame for all that? So you must. So he is to also blame for it. So therefore, you'll need to think properly about these issues as well. Now you must remember, he wants to get married to somebody, and you'll obviously you need to get him married. So my advice, get him married to the same girl that he made zina with, and that's what the Quran says and so forth. So the first, even if they get married, the child will still remain illegitimate. But because of your pride and arrogance, you don't want to do that, then get him married somewhere else. So you must remember that. But ethically and morally, he should be supporting the child. So that is what your son should do. He can't just be parking everywhere and get away scot-free.
I see, the brother says, he says, Jiba, I'm a Maimon. My son is a Maimon and the girl is a culvert. I wash my hands off it from him, Ustad. It's a slap in the face for the family.
So you must remember, so that is what happened. I don't know, you must remember these things here. I just said that you must remember from my what Allah's help and experience. Ba ahi gal korota ke na ke makke nahi khape ke manjo chokro kolva chokri ke peine. So, but that you don't want, he must do. But you allowed him to commit zina. Tahi kori akal manji digalai. So what I told my brother in Maimon is this, that you all don't want your son to get married to the Colvert girl. But so what were the consequences? He went to commit zina and a baby is born. So that you will allow, but you won't allow your son to get married to the Colvert girl. So what common sense is that now? How you reconcile these things here? So these are things, this gham mentality, village mentality, got no place in Islam. First of all, let us be honest. I don't know you, I don't know your son. But 90% of the time, your son, who's 20, 25, 23 years old, he can't even speak Memon properly. He'll understand 5 words and 90 words he won't understand. That same thing with that Colbert girl. She's 20 years old and so, go speak to her in proper Gujarati and Surti and what have you. She'll just make GGG 90%, 80%. So they just by name they did it. But now, just because of the language barrier, you don't want to give your son to get married to that. So that's wrong. We must remember that. That Islam does not allow. You should have given your blessing. Your wife should give you a blessing. But you see, Panji Jats, that is Panji Gam Jigal. You say, no, my village. So what good is the village when your son is committing zina and now there's a haram child involved himself? So you should think properly. You all are responsible as well. When the son commits zina, then remember Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ الْإِثْمَ عَلَىٰ أَبِيهِ, that the son is on the parents as well. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find it.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. When it's 29 minutes to 12 o'clock, there's a sister from Mozambique who starts saying that, dear Mufti Saab, I just want to bring it to your notice. There are a lot of abortions happening here in Maputo. Could Ustad please address on this abortion, Ustad?
You must remember that, you see, the Western countries, any law of theirs, if you study it properly, then you will see that they will try and present themselves as very civilized, as very educated and so forth. But always you will find these double standards and hypocrisy involved. You take your Mozambique, we take South Africa, you take Europe, you take America, all these places. So you will find that they will say, no, we must have human rights, you must have animal rights, you must do this. So, okay, we have human rights, now what? So when the boy and girl elope, boyfriend, girlfriend, and so forth, so now she in South Africa, she can go to the clinic and hospital and demand an abortion. Never mind request an abortion, she can demand a request an abortion. So one side, you speak of human rights. On the other side, you encourage abortion and so forth, which is murder, actually. And therefore, you find that today, the school boys, school girls, and the students in school and so forth, they use using this year as a loophole, and what they do, they try with this one, very good, try with that one, very good, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. They fall pregnant, they say, no problem, now we'll just have abortion. So what happens to that girl? So psychologically and spiritually, she's already scarred for life. Her conscience will speak to her, how many times have you committed this abortion, which is murder in Islam. You must remember that. In Islam, a lady who goes under this abortion, she's guilty of murder. So that is what we have to tell people and so forth. A jinnatun fi butuni ummahatikum fala tuzakku anfusakum huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. So Allah Jalla Wala knows exactly what is there in the womb of the mother and so forth. So therefore, don't try and pontify yourself and sanctify yourself and say, I'm very pious, I'm this, I'm that. Allah knows alone who has true piety and so forth. So therefore, that the laws are encouraging these vices and so forth in the Western democracies. And the boys also, you must remember, he wants to have a good time, hit and run, sleep with this girl, and then when she's pregnant, he says, go for abortion, I'll pay for it. See? So isn't he guilty of murder also? Of course he's accomplice to murder and homicide because he's telling that girlfriend. So people like this, for the zina they committed, they must be given 100 lashes. You must remember that fornication. And then for the murder they committed, remember they must be put into jail and so forth. But the Western democracies, they will never do that because they thrive on that. They will tell you at their airports or their port of entry, port of exit, everybody take one condom. The condom culture and the abortion culture, that is what the Western civilization and so-called democracy, the satanic system, you must remember, thrives on. So that is what you need to understand. Quran Kareem states, a law, this is golden maxim, golden principle and rule. Surah 5, chapter 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Quran that do not cooperate in sin and transgression. You can go ask any girl that who underwent the abortion, that ask her what happened honestly and how is she going on with the daily life. You will think she's laughing, smiling, but remember her inner conscience, the inner voice is telling her that you have now committed murder and that guilty conscience will get the better of her. That is in this world and in the year after. Surah chapter 81 verses 8 and 9. Chapter 81 verses 8 and 9. She will be asked. That the child will ask. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. You call this wa'ad. In Islam, infanticide is haram and feticide is haram. Infanticide, the baby is born, so because it's a baby girl, then they kill her, murder her. The Arabs used to do that. Islam said totally haram. So that was in the days of paganism. Even today in India, and that it happens, they go for a gender test. If it told to them that it is a girl, they will try and have the abortion, Allah forbid. So the baby is born and then they kill the baby, infanticide. And while it is still in the womb of the mother, and then they abort the baby, feticide and abortion. So all this falls under the purview of these verses, chapter 81 verses 8 and 9, that baby will ask, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Why was I killed? Why was I killed, O mother? Explain to me. What will you say, O mother? So remember, Islam is the only solution for humanity. Therefore, we say all these isms, communism, socialism, Zionism, capitalism, secularism, democracy, all are satanic systems. One word Quran has used for them, Tawhut. For me, after Ayatul Kursi, Surah 2, verse 255, then go to Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 256, for me, Bit-tahut. Whosoever rejects the Tawhuti systems, you have to reject all this. Well, yu'min billah, and you believe in Almighty Allah, you believe in all the articles of faith, in Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all the articles of faith. Faqadistamsaka bil urwatil huthqa. Then you have held on firmly, you have held on firmly to the rope of Allah. Lan fisama laha. Allah ki rasi. Allah ki rassi chhoot sakti hai. The rope of Allah can never snap off and can never break, but when we release the grip, it goes away. So that is what we are doing nowadays. And then if you want to go further, same hypocrisy, double standards you will find in animals. They tell us, how can you slaughter Qurbani time? How can you slaughter so many animals and so forth? But go and see what they are doing in the abattoirs across the board. So you will find 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 chicken and so forth slaughtered per day. And then stunning takes place. So the stunning isn't torture. So why all this? Maximum amount of animals must be sacrificed, slaughtered and so forth. Why? So they can make maximum profit. So that is capitalism and that is secularism at its worst, you must remember. The tragedy of all this is this, that the Muslim will come and put a halal logo on it. That is the tragedy, remember that. Therefore, our fatwa, we say all these type of chicken and so forth, haram totally.
Ustad, before I go for an ad break, I see a sister just sent two crying faces and she say, I was in that position. I married at the age of 22 and now I'm 29. And I had two times abortion done because we are not ready for a child. My husband is multi-rich. He is now in Dubai. He travels up and down, Ustad. We're waiting to get a child over 30 years, Ustad.
That's what happens. You must remember when Allah gave you the baby, Allah says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah gave you a gift, Surah 42, verses 49-50. You told Allah, no, we don't want your gift. We will make abortion and all this. Now Allah punishes you. Now you won't get the child. Or if you get the child, you'll have to wait very long. And you know that what trauma you are going through because you are guilty of murder. And your husband is also guilty of murder because he's the accomplice in that. What good of that is running around from here to there, Dubai, up and down, making hawala and all this here. Hawala is all the deals they cut and so forth. And remember, when you the one to say, make abortion and so forth. Who are we to say when we are ready, when we are not ready? When you are married and Allah blesses you with a child, you say, no, me, I'm not ready. You understand? So remember that you inviting, and not once, you do it twice. That is why we say the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la, you see, everything these people, they stole from us. Let once bitten, twice shy, is mentioned in this hadith. La yuldaghul mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratain. The true Muslim, the true Muslimah, that they will not be stung from the same place twice. So you went twice, you went to make the abortion. So how you may be guilty of double murder? Your husband is guilty of double murder because he's the accomplice in this crime. He paid for it and he encouraged you in all this. That's exactly what we are telling Uksa and company, you must remember. Last year you went friends of the court. Now again you're going. So don't you read this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? The true Muslim does not get stung twice, you must remember, from the same place. So therefore your title now is Uksa, friends of the court and enemies of Almighty Allah and enemies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla wa la protect us.
Yeah, there you heard it. Well, it's 18 minutes to 12. You are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see a lot of listeners want today's podcast. There's a sister from Zambia, mashallah. She also wants the podcast and they want the entire of The Bliss of Marriage. Since Mufti Sahab started, Marcus Sahab will start. Sister from Zambia, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sister from Lusaka, Zambia, Barakallahu Fik. So I'll say, why you want only for the past 3 years? We started Bliss of Marriage 20 years ago with Allah's help. You must remember that with CII we had it. It was the best program after Q&A. So therefore I told Maulana Arafat, yeah, at Markaz Sahaba, we can't have one day only Bliss of Marriage. We want two times a week. So therefore we have it Tuesdays between 11 and 12, and then on Wednesdays also. And we must thank our Haji Faisal Asmal, his beloved son Yusuf Asmal, mashallah, that they also on board with us during these programs here. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala reward them. What you need to do, esteemed listeners, make a note of this here. Go to our websites. Go to the website. Today we must use technology to propagate the true deen. Deen in its pristine purity, remember that. So we don't curry favor with people and politicians and so forth. So write down www. Dot, right? You got that triple W. Markaz Sahaba. MarkazSahaba. Markaz Sahaba. MarkazSahaba.com. You go there, download it. All the programs are there, inshallah. And then in your leisure time, you listen to the programs for the pleasure of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Or you go to my website, and that will be with Allah's help, www.mufti.aka/hosen. So Mufti A.K. Hussein Hosen.net. And there you will find a lot of things as well. So inshallah, sister in Lusaka, you can start today, tonight, tomorrow. You start tonight, tomorrow, very, very good. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, our honorable mother, Siddiqi Ladli, and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki piyari. So remember, she was Siddiqa bintu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. What she said in Maqasid Hasana, and this is authentic, Allama Khawi rahimahullah is written the book, that start something on a Wednesday, to Allah Ta'ala isku payai takmeel tak ponchayenge. Allah Ta'ala will let you benefit for many, many years and time to come. So that's good for you to start tonight, tomorrow. So visit the website and then start downloading whatever you want to hear, inshallah.
I see there's two questions here. One is, the sister says, ya Ustad, Mufti Sahib, I really don't understand this whole conflict between the true ulama and Uksa. If Ustad could please explain to us. And one says that we did send a fax message to UKSA, but they didn't respond. And eventually I was blocked. Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To all the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, remember, I have to take you back because that will explain to you why we having all these problems in South Africa. There is an organization, they call themselves UKSA. It was started by very, very great ulama, pious ulama in 1994. But now, the past few years, you must remember, they have taken U-turns and they are doing a great, great disservice to the ummah. And they say they represent majority of the Muslims and that the government also thinks like that. So we reject that totally. So that is why we are saying these issues here. So that is the first point. Second point, you must remember is this. Last year, 2020 Ramadan, they went to court as friends of the court, amicus. Amicus will be that, remember, that organizations went to court and they say that now they want to close the mosque and so forth, the government and what have you. So they went in to close the masjid. Can you believe that? And they're supposed to be maulanas and muftis and imams and sheikhs and what. But us, they're nothing. You must, they're non-entities. You must remember, they are ulama as su. You must remember, scholars for dollars in simple terms. So that is unprecedented in human history from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time till today, that Maulvis go to court to close the masjid. That is what happened in South Africa last year. So, and we opposed it obviously, so to show that we must keep the masajid open and so forth. So that is what happened last year. And remember, they lost the confidence of the public and the public were so upset and so forth. A new organization was formed, Wifaqul Ulama, and this year we have Darul Iman and so forth and so on. So that is where we were. Now this year, and this is going on for years now, over 10 years. So you must remember, it's called the Muslim Marriages Bill. So what is the Muslim Marriages Bill? That from 1994 democracy till now, our Muslim marriages are not recognized by government. So there is one organization, the Women Legal Center, and remember, they're done Muslim, so they say no, they want the Muslim marriages to be recognized. A simple answer, we can ask them, why you don't want the Jewish marriages to be recognized? Why you don't want the Christian marriages to be recognized? Why you don't want the Hindus' marriages? Why only particularly Muslim? But now look at what UKSA does again. You must remember, again they made application, and remember, that is for friends of the court, meaning they are siding with these ladies, with these people, the Women Legal Center and so forth and so on. They say, no, we want the recognition of Muslim marriages. Now, when you say that, people sometimes might think it's a good thing, but it's not good because now you're going to impact on our marriage, you're going to impact on the laws of talaq, you're going to impact on the laws of inheritance, because what the Women Legal Center and them are saying, and these UKSA people are going to say, whether they admit it or not, so when there's a conflict, right, is husband-wife. So husband says ABC, wife says XYZ. They won't pass the verdict according to Sharia. They will pass it according to the law of the land, according to the constitution. So obviously the constitution is not according to Islam, it's a secular country. So how many problems you will know? Instead of solving, you will be creating these problems here. So that is the first thing there that you should understand. Second thing, you must know who is UKSA. UKSA's previous former president was a murtad. You must remember that. Murtad means a person born Muslim or embrace Islam and then he commits such an act that takes him out of the fold of Islam. So you must remember, they all know about it. Therefore, they will always block you. You phone them, you send WhatsApp to them, corner them, they will block you. Because they know they are guilty. You must remember these type of things here. Thereafter, you must remember, you need to ask them, to who is your allegiance? Is your allegiance to the Quran Sharif or the Sunnah? Or is your allegiance, you must remember, to the Constitution? Therefore, Mufti Hashim Bouda, one of the senior ulama in South Africa, They had the Jamiat Ulama Gauteng here in the dear, mashallah, senior member of our Darul Iman and so forth. Wonderful. I sent it out today on all the groups. He said Uksa is actually committing shirk, you must remember, by challenging the Sharia. So you must remember this thing, which is the truth. You must remember this is a challenge to the Sharia. And why all this? Just to curry favor with politicians. If you ask why did they go last year, friends of the court, it was bootlicking, remember, of the government and politicians. That's all it was. So therefore we say shame on you, Uksa. You are a disservice and a disgrace to the South African Muslim and to the ulama fraternity. So now next week Thursday there will be a court case that the applicant, you must remember, is the Women Legal Center, and the defendant respondent is who? That's Lajnatun Nisa'il Muslimat, the woman's body, woman's committee, you must remember. So they will be, and our lawyers, our senior ulama are there as well. So our lawyers, brother Zahir Umar, his illustrious son Abu Bakr, Hafiz Firoz Bouda, Yusha Tayyab, and Zahir Adam, and so many others, Yusuf Dokrat, and so many others will be all assisting, assessors, and so forth. So Allah Jalla Wala, I tell you now that after experiencing this issue of friends of the court for closing the mosque and masajid, and now that many lawyers got more loyalty to Islam than these crooked Maulvis here. Let me be clear on that. They are Dhal and Mudril and worse than Dajjal. Did I say so? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad, the time will come that you must ask Allah for protection from Dajjal. But akhwaf, even worse than Dajjal, will be who? Al-a'imma al-mudilleen, these imams, these maulvis, these sheikhs, themselves corrupted, you know, just like the politicians, and al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, and they also so corrupted. Can you believe that? Challenging the Sharia and so forth. So you must remember this. This can put them out of the fold of Islam, and those who are following them will put them also out of the fold of Islam if they're not careful. So imagine the consequences and ramifications of that. So next week Thursday, so one side we have Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai of the Majlis, then we have Majlis Ulama supporting it, we have Jamiat Ulama Gauteng supporting it, we have Markaz Sahaba supporting it, Darul Iman supporting it, many other people and our lawyers, many of them, alhamdulillah. So we want and we request you that you should be making a lot of dua, that you know, in court technical issues and so forth. So, but we must always stand for the truth. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. That is our stance on all these type of issues. Our function must be to propagate the Sharia and defend the Sharia at all times and all places. So that is where the problem is. So as far as Uksa go, I gave them messages on Sunday, I gave them message last night, and today again I'll repeat it. The best thing for you is to dismantle and look at them, look at their hypocrisy. That you must remember, a founder member, Jamiat Ulama KwaZulu Natal, was not even consulted or informed by them regarding this application they made to the Concord, to the Constitutional Court, that they will be going in as friends of the court. So much loyalty, they got loyalty inverted commas. Can you understand the hypocrisy? So therefore we say the best thing you must do is dismantle. You are a disgrace to the Muslims of South Africa.
I see the brother says, but don't you think it's a slap in the face for you, Mufti Sab, because your own Maulvis, they're standing with us and they will be joining us next week in the court. And you'd be surprised, these are senior Maulvis. Don't be shocked, you guys will lose. Ustad,
it's nothing to do for lose and win. We don't call them Maulvis. You can call them Maulvis. We call them, you must remember, people who are the Dhal and Mudril, corrupted Maulvis, you must call them. So for you, yes, they can be yours. We're not here for winning and losing. We are here for defending the Sharia for all times, all places. They are not Maulvis. They are politicians who are bootlicking, you must remember. They want to show the government how loyal loyal they are to the Constitution and so forth. So for you, they can be seen here. For us, you must remember they are liability and a disgrace to this Ummah. And Allah says they're a disgrace. Surah, therefore I told you, you must go to a psychiatrist. You must remember that your brains are not functioning properly. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيُ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So for them, people who close the masjid, people who go to court and so forth, you can lose your iman. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah 2 verse 114, for them is disgrace, وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them, it is a terrible, horrible, grievous punishment on day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us from such politicians and crooked Maulvis.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. Somebody says, I'm married for a month now, dear Mufti Sahab. I used to take care of my parents financially. Then eventually I resigned from my job and married. When my mom cries and says that it's difficult without me, I regret getting married. Mufti Sahab, I'm not totally happy in the marriage because husband doesn't appreciate me and ignore all my efforts. He's also very conjuice. I used to work. It's now difficult to ask him for things. It was easier when I was working. What dua should I read? What must I do to get rid of this regret? Ustad.
Just let me put the last point of that previous question regarding Uksa, and that I repeated this from last year. You must remember, maybe 100 times I'm saying it now. Remember our fatwa and verdict regarding them, all these people who are active and so forth as the friends of the court. To read salat behind them is not permissible. Remember that. That's our fatwa. To contribute towards them and their organizations is haram and not permissible. You can't give them zakat, you can't give them sadaqah, lillah, nothing. When Allah calls them the enemies, so what, you want to help them and assist them, then you also an accomplice in that crime. So you must remember these things here. Islam doesn't need that we must go and help people in vices. We must help people وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Surah 5 verse 2. You must cooperate and assist with one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And you must not cooperate in sin and transgression. Okay, now we come to this question the sister asked. That, I say we only got 2-3 minutes left, so quickly. So you, sister, you were working. First of all, for a lady to go and work and all that in a public where you have to compromise your dressing code, where you will be missing salat, where you have to intermingle with the opposite gender, can all this be permissible? Obviously it's not permissible. So that is now one point you should remember. Second one is, now you got married. So you were happy, your parents were happy, it seems, and now after 1 month, 2 months, whatever the case is, now you say you're not happy. So your husband is a conjuice, to use your word, is a miser. So now, is your husband responsible for you or your parents? 100% he's responsible for you, but he's not responsible for your parents. Your brothers, your family members must take care of your parents. They're old, they're sickly. Allah give them shifa and so forth. But you can't be blaming your husband that he's responsible, remember, for your parents, his father-in-law, mother. That's wrong. Yes, if he's conjuice with you, he don't want to give you extra and so forth and so on. So that is wrong of the husband. So we must not cross the lines here. Many a time when the lady or the male becomes emotional, then we don't think rationally and properly. So he is responsible for you and he must give you some allowance and so forth and so on. In this sense, we call it akhlaqi farz. Akhlaqi farz means it is a moral obligation and so forth. Not every day you have to ask him, give me 5 rand, 10 rand, 50 rand, 20 rand. So he should use his common sense and so forth. But he's definitely not responsible for your parents and so forth. So therefore, to say no, you want to break the marriage because now there's no money for whatever for your in-law, for your parents, that is not a valid reason. So read Ya Wadudu abundantly, and inshallah, Almighty Allah will bring the love between the spouses, husband and wife. Okay, next up is the news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, a lecture, Islahi Majlis by Mufti Ibrahim Saleji, Springo Beach. Then our azan, 1 o'clock, 1:05 to 130, Surah Qasas, verses 71, 72, inshallah. Then 130 to 2, Surah Tawbah. You must listen to this, very interesting. This is Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 60. One verse, we discuss the people who are entitled to receive zakat. 2 to 3, Madrasa on A, Mona Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Mona Arafat and myself. 3:30 to 4, the right way of nikah, the sunnah way, by Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri, that's in Urdu. 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, very interesting, you must listen. One of our senior ulama who passed away, Hazrat Mohana Harun Sahib, Baba Sumar of Spingo Beach, Rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. So he said, the topic, never compromise in your Iman and Islam. See what a great lesson it is. Then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, today's tafsir, the repeat. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, Maul Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, inshallah. And then 10 to 11, Maulana Ridwan Kaji. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. I see Haji Yusuf is ready for the 12 o'clock news. Let's go over to him.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.